God is good and all the time. Good morning. It is great to see each and every one of you on this gorgeous Sunday. Thank you so much for being here as we celebrate the first Sunday of Advent by the hanging of the greens, and it is going to be a great service. Our youth lead this service, and we just celebrate the leadership of our youth here at First Church. Thank you guys very much. Each and every one of you. Yes. Real quick, and then I'll get out of the way and let them take over. Make sure you see the Cliff Notes, which is what I like to call them because Cliff Soppy writes them. But study guide. Take this home, keep it by your prayer chair, and as Justin will talk about the joys and concerns later on in the service, take your bulletin home as well, and this will give you a little devotion and also people that you can be in prayer for. Also, poinsettia orders. Make sure that you fill this out. Put it in the offering basket later on the service with your check. Also in the memo, make sure you tell us that it is for poinsettias so that we won't get that mixed up with the general offerings. So this is a great thing. We have many poinsettias already, so please fill this out. If you want it in honor or in memory of someone, let us know. The yellow insert is our list of youth that are participating today. Make sure you take a good look at that and try to put some faces and names together so you can greet them later on in the service. If you would, because of the type of service we have today, our announcements are on the back of the bulletin today. So if you would look at the back of the bulletin, all of these are very important announcements. It begins with Warm House Sunday, which is next Sunday. Make sure you please pay attention to all of these announcements. One that I want to lift up specifically is the Angel Tree announcement. We have adopted three families in this community. And if you look right back through that window, you see the tree, about 2.5, 3 foot of a tree with lights on it. There are tags on that tree of specific gifts that you can get. So make sure you take a look at that. It's right next to the Christmas ornament table that you can purchase while you're getting that. But anyway, they are really classy ornaments, by the way. But this Christmas angel tree is very special. There have been three families that we have adopted, and we want to support them. Honestly, they may not have a Christmas without us. And so we are their gift givers, and that is a great place to be. And so now here's the deal. When you get the tag and you purchase the gift and you wrap it, make sure you put the tag on the outside of the gift because they're coded so that we know who they go with. If you don't put the tag on it, we have to open up the gift and kind of guess which person it goes to in the families that we have adopted. Does that make sense? So if you just tape the tag that you take on top of the gift, and that way it's really easy. We know exactly where it goes. So does that make sense? Say amen if you understand that.
Amen.
All right, excellent. All of these are important announcements. Also, there are this week's, we call it a glance at the week ahead inside your bulletin, where they typically are if you'd like to look at that as well. This is a great day, and I am so excited that you're here to support our youth this morning as they lead this decorating of our sanctuary. Now, I have to say, before we begin, the worship team came and spent most of the day yesterday getting all these things out and organized, along with the youth as well. And we just have to say there's an addition today, this year, that Sharon Eichel made, this huge wreath. Isn't that just gorgeous? She's probably upset with me that I mentioned her name, but congratulate her anyway and tell her how beautiful it is. So anyway, are you ready for an amazing worship service this morning? You know, there's only 4 Sundays in Advent, so you know what that means? Guess what comes at the end of Advent? Christmas, that's right. So, you know, we got 4 weeks here. In between that, we have cantatas, we have Christmas Eve service, obviously on Christmas Eve. And so, not to say anything that's too obvious, Teresa, but anyway, we do welcome you here this morning, and we thank you so much for your presence here. Let's have a prayer as we begin today. Dear God, we thank you so much for this day We thank you, God, that you were thinking of us before our eyelids were open to this gorgeous day. No matter what happens today, Lord, we give you praise because we know that you are with us. You're guiding us. You're directing us. Your presence saturates our lives, and we thank you. And today, as we gather to worship you for the first Sunday of Advent, we ask in Jesus' name for your powerful anointing, God. May you in tangible ways be present among us as we listen to these youth lead us in worship. May you be the focus of our worship, God. May you heal us where we need to be healed. May you give us answers where we have questions. And dear God, may you give us questions where we need to look at our lives and the direction that we're heading. Be with us. May all evil and negative thoughts run scared because of your presence here today. May your light shine every dark corner of our souls. We love you, God. And we're here to lift our hands, to lift our hearts and our souls to worship you. So make us one with you and one with each other. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Right?
Will you please stand and join me for the call of celebration? Today we prepare, anticipate, and celebrate the birth of the tiny baby. Each song, each flower, each light, every word, and every green thing reminds us.
God loves us, each and every one of us.
Alleluia, amen. Please remain standing as we sing Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, found on page 196 in your hymnal.
Thank you.
be seated. In way of our joys and concerns, both Jay Sterling and Dan Wendt recently had surgeries within the past week or two. Both are at home. Both are doing fine, so that's certainly a praise. Continue to pray for them in their recovery. Also, in the back of the bulletin, you'll notice a list of names. Remember those names in your prayer. Those who are at home, those who are in nursing home, assisted living. Also, be sure to continue to pray for the men and women in the armed forces. And let's pray. God, we thank you for today. God, we lift this service to you. We lift our eyes to you. And as it says in the hymn that we just read, we ask that your Spirit rule in all our hearts. And God, we ask that you raise us to your glorious throne. So God, we ask for that. We ask that you be with the youth as they do this service, and God help them to do it all for you. In your name, amen.
Morning. Today's scripture, well, I'm Paul Dirks, and I'll be giving the message today called Worship Fully, and I'm going to kick off a teaching series called The Advent Conspiracy. Today's scripture is found Matthew 2, 1 through 11. As you're finding that, rise with me as we prepare for a Bible pledge. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. Not to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired all of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Thanks be to God. To a place of true worship and celebration of Jesus' birth.
The Advent Conspiracy is really this experience of being able to enter into the story of Christmas.
There were moments, and I can remember them distinctly, even in recent years, where I would sense that I was missing it. I would sense that I was missing the wonder, the awe, the worship, the celebration. I was getting sucked into the pace. I was getting sucked into the worry about buying the right gifts, the pressure to buy enough gifts. And invariably, at the end of Christmas, there was this letdown. There was this ache, this longing that somehow I had missed it. And it was a part of what really began to fuel this idea of the Advent Conspiracy for us.
It's an attempt to recapture the beauty of Christmas. If we're going to celebrate the birth of Christ, we thought maybe it should be actually about Jesus rather than the things that too often consume us.
Our hearts are formed by what we worship. Our attitudes, our affections, the things we give our time to, all of our life gets formed by what we worship. When you look at the scripture today, it talks about the wise men. Now the wise men were wealthy kings from the east. And they show up to King Herod, who was a very strict king of the day, and they tell him, ask him face to face, where is the one born king of the Jews? When they find Jesus, they lay all their possessions down, all of their gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They come with all their wealth and resources. Now in Luke, we are told about shepherds. They were poor, and they couldn't testify in court. They had no say in society, and nobody really trusted them. But they were the ones who the angels showed up to spread the word that Christ had been born. Everyone else missed out on the chance to actually see God show up on earth. But yet these poor, looked down upon shepherds got to experience his arrival, because God knew their heart. When the angels actually showed up to them, they don't hesitate. They immediately go and find him. It's curious that God would entrust these different people to make the announcement to the world that Christ is born. But no matter how despised they were to society, God knew their heart and knew they'd get the job done. And God accepts both stories. The shepherds don't have a lot of cash, but they announce the world with only their mouths. Then you have the wise men that come with their wealth, and they announce and also give their gifts to Christ. There are actually two different forms of worship around Christmas. One worship story is one that includes buying things that will indicate to the person we give them to that we love them. It's a love story, but it's a story about a different God, a God of stuff that breaks or disappears. Every year on Black Friday, people get up at 5:30 to get the best deals on stuff. Who doesn't want to save money? That's a good use of your cash. But at the same time, we have to be honest with ourselves. That's a worship event. People are excited to get there, and they give themselves to it. That's a Christmas worship event. And I think the question we start to ask ourselves is that the right worship event for the birth of Christ? My understanding is that it's about God, who gives you peace and life and all these things. But if we aren't really paying attention, are we going to miss that worship event? The worship event about Jesus and salvation, because we are so busy cutting coupons for the other worship event? There was a man who got shot fighting over a PlayStation 3 for his son. That's a love story. It's a weird love story, but it's really a love story. And his love was expressed through what he worshipped, getting a game for his son. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, what are we announcing to the world? Every year around Christmas, the news lists all the great deals, and they present Christmas as happy holidays instead of Merry Christmas. I mean, is it their story to tell, or is it ours? Have we gotten to the point where we get tired of telling the Christmas story and expect the mall to tell the story of Christ for us? If we were to worship with our lives, whether we are like the shepherds or the wise men, it's that fullness of worship that tells the better story. That story can't be described by a symbol or happy holidays or Merry Christmas. That's a story that gets announced to the world that God has given a son, and that changes everything. So when you're going out to get Christmas gifts and or receive them, have fun. But don't get so sucked into the consumerism that you forget the real reason why there's such thing as Christmas. Ask yourself this question: what am I announcing to the world? Money or Christ? And then ask which one really matters in the end.
The glory of Lebanon will come to you, the pine, the fir, and the cypress, together to adorn the place of my sanctuary, and I will glorify the place of my feet. Isaiah 60:13. Centuries ago, long before the birth of Christ, the use of evergreen branches were always a part of festive processions. The evergreen wreath has always been an emblem of eternal life and God's faithfulness of all humanity. Although cold winters kills most plants, the evergreen remains. through it all, the symbol of life for us. Today it becomes a joyous, happy symbol of life eternal in our Lord, Jesus Christ. The wreath that are hung in our sanctuary also have symbolic significance. Their endless circle reminds us of the endless love of God, and their green color, which is evergreen, reminds us of the new life that God gives to us, never will die. Please turn to page 237 in your hymnal and sing verses 1, 2, and 3 of Sing We Now of Christmas.
Song of Solomon, Christmas flower. Although it is treasured in all parts of the world as a symbol of Christmas, it can be traced back to an old Mexican legend. A poor peasant girl going to her church to visit the manger scene on Christmas morning was brokenhearted because she had nothing of beauty or value to offer Christ the child. On her way to the road, as her only possession in the world, laid them at the feet of the statue of the Virgin Mary. Miraculously, they were transformed into the scarlet brilliance of the poinsettia we know today. The poinsettia reminds us of Joel Robert Poinsett, for whom the plant is named. He was born in Charleston in 1759, was a planter, botanist, statesman, and our country's first minister to Mexico, from where he first brought the plant to Charleston in 1829. Now it is used to the world at Christmas time. The bright blood-red poinsettia has become the most popular of all Christmas flowers. The star of the leaf is said to represent the star that stood over the Christ child. The red flower stands for the blood of the male infants that King Herod had slain. The red flower also represents the shed blood. Please join us in singing I Wonder As I Wander, found on the screen.
People like Can you have all the kids come forward for kids' time? Special time of the year. We call it Advent.
The word Advent comes from a Latin word, Adventus, which means coming. Can you guess what's coming?
That's right, it's Christmas, which is the church celebration of Jesus' birth. Advent is a time of waiting and preparing our hearts for Jesus' coming.
We mark these days and weeks with the Advent in different ways. One way is with candles. Do you notice the special Advent candles here today? During each of the 4 weeks of Advent, we will light another candle until all four are lit. Then on Christmas Eve, we will light the fifth candle in the middle.
Another way you might choose to mark Advent with your family is with one of these, an Advent calendar. If you look carefully, you'll notice that the Christmas tree is plain. But an Advent calendar is a way of helping to count the days that lead up to Christmas. Starting with December 1st, you get to glue a picture that on the Advent tree. Every day, you add another picture. When all of the pictures have been used, Christmas will have arrived. You can color each of the pictures if you want.
We have an Advent calendar to help each of you count the days of Advent. But before we can hand them out, we have to decorate the Christmas tree with angels. Let's pray.
Dear God, we are ready to celebrate the coming of your son, Jesus. We thank you for sending him to earth and ask that you give us the strength and wisdom to follow his examples. Amen.
Please join us in singing "O Christmas Tree," found on the screen, while the children decorate the Christmas tree.
John 8:12, Jesus tells us, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Long before the celebration of Christmas, candles were used to signify Christ as the light of the world. In medieval times, there was a legend which said that on Christmas Eve, the Christ child wandered throughout the world looking for places where he would be welcomed. Those who loved him, hoping that he might find their homes, placed lighted candles in the window to invite him in. No one, of course, knew for sure how he might appear. Perhaps he would come dressed in the rags of a beggar, or he might come as a poor and lonely child. He might even come in the form of a disabled person who has been put out to roam the streets of the city or the lonely footpaths of the countryside. So it became customary for devout Christians to welcome into their homes all who knocked at their doors on Christmas Eve. To turn away may have meant the rejection of the Christ child, who had come in an unfamiliar garb. During the Advent season, we remember that the Christ child is wandering along our streets, looking for homes where he will be given warmth and shelter. The candles in the windows of the homes and churches symbolize to all of our community that Christ is our guest. Here is a place where there is room for him in our hearts. Let's listen to Dallas Yeager as she sings Go Light Your World.
Spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes its home secure. Your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the helpless, confused and torn. Hold out your candle for all to see.
Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. Matthew 2:1. From the earliest times, the account of the journey of the wise men, or Magi, has been a tremendous part of the Christmas season.
It was through their love and desire to know their King of Kings that they traveled many miles, even risking their lives in encounters with King Herod, so that they might present their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. In our Christmas season today, we continue that gift-giving tradition, and in our Christian lives each week, we practice the same spirit of the Magi in giving tithes and gifts to Jesus, our King of Kings, so his ministry may continue and expand. Please turn to page 254 as we sing verses 1 through 3 of We Three Kings.
Says, in those days a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. One of the most heartwarming expressions of Christmas is the Nativity. The Nativity speaks of the mystery of God's wisdom, why God chose to send his Son into our world as a baby of humble birth, born in common surroundings we do not know. What we do know is that God reached out to all people, including the poor and wealthy, the simple and the wise, the powerless and the powerful. All who found him knelt in humility before him. Knowing God is possible because he came to us at our level. Whenever we see a Nativity, we find ourselves with Mary and Joseph, with the shepherds and with the wise men, bowing before the manger, overwhelmed by God's expression of love and coming to us. Please join us as we sing verses 1, 3, and 4 of O Little Town of Bethlehem, found on page 230 in the hymnal.
Thank you.
this first Sunday of Advent, we light the prophet's candle. We light this candle with expectation that God would give us vision, eyes to see his glory, to see clearly the path before us. O come, Emmanuel, shine inside of us. In Isaiah 9, the prophet tells us, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. For those who lived in the land of deep shadows, light, some burst of light. For a child has been born to us, God's Son, given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The prophets had a gift of vision. They saw the darkness and a need for a Savior. They saw with God's eyes the pain and suffering of humanity. They saw the possibility for renewal and had faith in God's perfect plan. They awaited with expectation the Messiah, Amazing Counselor, God made flesh. We too can see with the eyes of God. Because of Emmanuel, he gives us eyes to see. Believe and you will see.
Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for shining your light in us and upon us. Fill us with joy as we anticipate Christ's arrival in our hearts. Amen. Please join us as we sing the first verse of O Come, Emmanuel, found on page 211 in your hymnal. The sound of the bells will be heard when he enters the holy place before the Lord and when he comes out, so he will not die. Exodus 28:35. Bells have always produced joy and excitement. Bells were used in religious services long before our Savior's birth. But now for centuries, the bells of churches in every land have rung the glad news of the birth of Jesus. These bells would ring for an hour before midnight on Christmas Eve as if to warn the powers of darkness of the approaching birth of the Savior. Then, right at midnight, they would change to a joyous pealing, ringing out the announcement, Christ is born. Let us listen to our bell choir as they play Carol of the Bells.
As we prepare ourselves of receiving the tithe, our tithes and our offerings, I invite you to turn in your bulletin to our connection card. And if you would, fill that out if you haven't already. If you're visiting with us, thank you so much for being here today. And we especially ask that you would fill out the connection card, put your name, address, telephone number, so we can greet you properly and say thank you so much for being here. And also, especially today, in support of our youth as they lead this service. Now will our ushers come forward and wait upon us for our tithes and our offerings.
Dear God, may we always give our gifts to you as a thank offering for the wonderful gift of Jesus that you gave to us. In all things, make us faithful servants, awake and ready for your coming. Amen. Please remain standing as we sing Emmanuel, found on page 204 in your hymnal. For being here today. Remember, you are a child of God. As you go on through this week and this coming month, ask yourself, what are you announcing to the world? And I'll give you a hint. The one you spend most of your time on and give most of your time to is the one you're announcing to the world. So, what are you announcing? Money or Christ? And then ask which one matters in the end. Amen.
Didn't these youth do awesome?